Good morning. How are you? Well, peaceful? Everybody wants peace, isn't it? Who doesn't want peace? But these days, chronic anxiety taken over people's lives. Worries. People worry for different reasons. For jobs. For health issues. For hair loss. Yeah. Even children have anxiety problems. You know, some of the schools have psychiatrists in the school and every software companies. The anxiety, the worry has taken over people's life. How can we have peace? We want peaceful life, but how can we have? Today we are going to look at Philippians chapter 4, where Paul helps us to understand how to have peace in our lives. And this epistle that he writes to Philippians, it's a beautiful epistle from the Bible. And the overarching theme of this Philippians epistle is that be joyful, you know, and that joy is found in Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice always, he says. That's the overarching theme of this epistle. Joyful life in Christ. And he says in chapter 1, he says, you want a joyful life in Christ? Chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So when Christ becomes your life, you will be joyful. And chapter 2, he says, how can I live this life? And he says in chapter 2, verse 5, have this mind of Christ in you. You follow the Christ example. Humble yourself. Think of others. Serve others like Christ served you at the cross. So you will have joyful life when you follow the pattern of Jesus Christ's life. When Jesus Christ becomes your example. And chapter 3, he says, I have only one goal. That's Christ Jesus. I count everything as loss and run so that I might know more Christ Jesus, so that I might gain Jesus Christ, he says. And that's what he's saying is, you will have joyful life when Christ becomes your goal of life. And chapter 4, from our scripture portion, he says, don't be anxious for anything. Why? He says in verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And even he says, I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. In verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Christ is sufficient. When Christ becomes your satisfaction, when Christ becomes your satisfaction, you will have peace in your life. You don't need to worry. So Christ, when Christ becomes your life, you will be joyful. When Christ becomes your example in your life, you will be joyful. When Christ becomes your goal, you will be joyful. And know that Christ is sufficient, and then you will be joyful. And then he says in verse 6, the command, don't be anxious. So I'm reading from ESV version, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But the focus is on verse 6. I'm reading from the above. For the context, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or some translation says gentleness, be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful promise that we have here. Don't worry. Don't worry. Christ is sufficient. You can overcome all your anxieties, worries with the power of Christ. And that's what the theme for our sermon today. Christ-like peace will overcome worry. When he said don't worry, he also gave motivation why we don't need to worry. He says when we go to God in prayer, in verse 7 he says, it is the peace of God which will suppress all our understanding and will guard our hearts and minds. It is the peace of God that we want. It's not peace from God. It is not peace with God. It is peace of God. You know, even world, for all our anxiety problems, they come up with some solutions. Alcohol, have cocaine, have drugs. Someone is causing you trouble in life, divorce him. Go away. Go to Himalayas. Have peace. You know, all kind of various things. But that's what the world says. You will have peace when you remove the trial or suffering from your life. But that's not what Jesus Christ's peace is. In John chapter 14 verse 27. John chapter 14 verse 27. Jesus promised, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you. I give you to you. But do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He says, it's my peace I give you, not as world gives you. The world says, remove trials and sufferings, you will be peaceful. But Jesus says, you will have trials and sufferings, but still you will have peace. Remember the context, what Jesus Christ, when he is speaking, he is about to be crucified. The greatest suffering and any human being can face. The separation from God. Jesus Christ, he is going to be crucified, crushed by evil men. And he is still in peace and says, I will give my peace. This kind of peace we want. Even when there are sufferings and trials in our life, we need peace. And that is only found in Jesus Christ. We need Christ-like peace in our life to overcome worry. That's the theme for our sermon. And today, if you are struggling this morning, if you are struggling with anxieties, whatever the reason might be, it might be your burdens of life, a persecution from family because of your faith, whatever it might be, we have a solution here. And Paul gives us two principles that will help us to overcome this worry with Christ-like peace. And the first principle we see in verse 5, he says, let your gentleness or reasonableness be made known to everyone. The first principle he says is that, be gentle. Be gentle. And this word gentle means graciousness, kindness, tolerant, content, unwilling to fight. Unwilling to fight. And the same word in Hebrew, it's used for this word to say ready to forgive. In Psalm 86:5, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. This gentleness word means a person who is ready to forgive, who doesn't fight. And Wikipedia gave this definition. It says gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is tender, compassionate approach towards others' weaknesses and limitations. A gentle person still speaks truth, sometimes even painful truth. But in doing so, guards their tone so that the message, the truth, can be well received. But gentleness, world considers it as a weakness. World considers gentleness as weakness. And people think someone who is violent is macho and strong. But who is really gentle, if you see in the Bible? It's Jesus Christ. Paul reminds in 2 Corinthians 10:1, now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It is Christ Jesus who is gentle, who is all-powerful, but yet, when he is being crucified, he did not fight back. He used his strength and power to rescue his people. One author said, David Matthews, violence is the destructive use of strength, but gentleness is life-giving exercise. Weak men are always insecure and try to parade their strength through violence or various means. However, the strong men rightly exercise their strength. They don't parade their strength. And Abigail, William's youngest child, whenever we meet, she comes to me and she says, "Daryl, I'm going to break your arm." And then she puts all her strength and energy to twist my arm and then says, "I broke your arm." And she tries to be as powerful, as harsh she can be. She doesn't need to be gentle. It is the strong person who has to be gentle. Violent people are the weak people. Arrogant people are the weak people. Gentle people are the strong people. Jesus Christ died on the cross because he was strong. Amen? Yeah. And he says, let be gentle, but let everyone know about your gentleness. Let everybody know your gentleness. Pursue peace with everybody. If you want to live a peaceful life, you can't fight with everybody. First and foremost thing. Your relationship with others matters. And when Paul says, let your gentleness be made known to every man, he is not asking us to print pamphlets and distribute saying that I am gentle. Or yeah, put it on a Facebook page or WhatsApp title that I am gentle. It doesn't make sense. He's trying to communicate that everyone should be able to see that you are gentle. Should be able to testify that you are gentle. You see, your testimony. And you have to understand the context, what he is talking about. The context of this epistle is Philippians. The infant church is going through severe persecution. And Paul himself who writes, he is about to face his trial. I mean, he's waiting for his result. He could be killed. That's why he says in chapter 1 verse 21, if they kill me, it's fine. I'm going to be with the Lord. For me to live is for Christ. I'll serve people if they leave me. But if they kill me, it's okay. I'm going to be with Christ. You see the peace of this man? And that's why he says, you have to make your gentleness known to all men. And this is during that dangerous persecution time. And this word, gentleness, as it says, is power under control. And the context, as we see, they are being ill-treated, tortured, and they were treated disgracefully. Sometimes they might face death. But yet, in that situation, when people are persecuting you, you be gentle. It's very hard to be gentle. It's impossible, of course. It's Christ who should help us. And he is our greatest example. We can't be gentle even to our own family members. And as you remember, the definition says, you have to be gentle towards others' weaknesses and limitations. And we see Jesus Christ being so gentle towards his disciples during his incarnation. If you remember, Matthew chapter 26 or Luke chapter 22, when Jesus Christ foretold Peter's denial, that Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, Jesus, what are you saying? You know, even if everyone forsakes you, I'm telling I'm going to be with you. I will never forsake you, he says. And Jesus Christ said that. No. Tonight, before the rooster crows, thrice you will deny me. And the way he approaches, it's so beautiful in Luke chapter 22. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you. But Peter tries to be arrogant. He says, what are Jesus, you don't know nothing, man. Everyone can forsake you, but I will never forsake you. But Jesus is so gentle. He says, okay, I prayed for you. And when you restore, strengthen your brothers. That's the attitude of gentleness. And even when he went, John chapter 21, after resurrection also, Peter, even after seeing all this, in John chapter 21 verse 3, he says, Amigos, I'm going for fishing. Who is joining me? And takes everyone for fishing. And Jesus comes in John chapter 21 verse 5 and comes and says, Children, do you have any fish? He didn't come. You foolish people, how many times I told I will resurrect, I told you to preach gospel. He didn't confront them. First he went and he was tenderly asking them, Children, do you have any fish? And later he asked Peter, Do you love me? Jesus never belittled his friends. He edified them. He was always gentle. Strong people are gentle. It's interesting. I always thought that I was a gentle person. And once I was on call with my family, and I think by mistake my cheek touched and my call got recorded. And then I usually record my sermons on mobile, and I was listening, and then I heard my conversation with the family. I sounded so rude. I felt like I'm barking like a dog. I never knew this. Someone said amen. So we always think that we are gentle. We try to justify. That was righteous anger, yeah? You know, we try to justify. Record yourself. Look at yourself. We think we are gentle. But we are not. And if you see the context, he is not just asking to be gentle towards the family, a church, but towards all people. Not, we can't even practice gentleness with the loved ones. But Paul is saying, you have to be gentle towards all men, even the men who are persecuting you. Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace, building up one another in the context of church. And Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. People should be able to see the Lord in you. Be gentle by pursuing peace with everyone. And as I earlier mentioned, it is impossible to have peace with everyone. Imagine going into traffic and not getting angry. Seriously, can we do that? It's impossible for us, but it's only Christ who can help us. That's why he says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. And he says, suddenly he gives a promise of assurance of Lord's presence. He says, the Lord is at hand. You know, you have to be gentle knowing that the Lord is near. You know, we try to fight back because we want justice. We want justice. You want to prove that you are right. That's why we argue. Why we argue? All our arguments are, if you want to conclude, you're saying, I am right. I am good. That's the theme of your arguments. And you want everybody to know that you are right. So you argue, you fight. Even sometimes, even conveying truth, gospel to the world, you will argue. Hey, Jesus Christ is powerful. Your God is very local God. Yeah? Our God is powerful. That's not the attitude that we should have. We should be gentle and plead them. No. God's wrath is upon you. There is only solution in Christ, because he died on the cross for the sins of his people. If you repent, you will be saved. Repent for your sin. Brother, I love you. I care for you. This is the attitude that we should have, but yet sometimes we fight to make our point. And this idea that Lord is near, in a sense that, hey, don't worry. The Lord, when he comes, he is going to bring justice. Everybody will know who you are. and Lord will reward you when he comes. That's what Lord, whenever Bible talks about Lord's return, it's about assuring the rewards for the Christians and the judgment for the world. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, my reward is with me." And even Luke chapter 6 verse 35, this is very close. He says, "But love your enemies and do good and not lend." Sorry, "and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great." You have to love your enemies. You have to be gracious, compassionate, knowing that the Most High God will reward you. So you don't need to fight back. You don't need to prove your point. You just share the truth in love. And even if they blame you, even if they badmouth you, if they slander against you, you don't need to fight. When the Lord comes, he is going to bring justice. And this idea when he says the Lord is at hand or Lord is near, it gives a picture of his presence or his help. As we see in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He hears your prayers. You know, the sense of God's presence, the sense of God's help towards us. So knowing that the Lord is near, who is going to bring justice, who is going to bring rewards, we should be gentle towards the world. That's the first principle to have Christ-like peace and overcome worry. Be gentle. And the second principle, as found in verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious." Do not be anxious. And this anxious word, the Lightfoot, J.B. Lightfoot calls this anxiousness is harassing thoughts of care. Unreasonable anxiety, which arises in one who is full of cares, especially about the future, and thus distracted in mind. So those who are worrying, they are not actually working. They are only thinking and trying to find a solution, and they are consumed with that thoughts, but not actually working for the problem. And that's why Paul, he says, don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But he gives a positive exhortation, saying that, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, your requests may be known to God. So, don't fret. Don't fret about your needs, your problems, your anxieties, health issues in front of people. But let not people know, but let God know. Let your requests be made known to God. So be prayerful. Be prayerful. That's the second principle. This is, don't be anxious. That is the main verb. That is the main idea. But the positive, that's the negative command, but the positive idea is that don't be anxious, but be prayerful, he says. Let God know all your needs. And this request, this word request means a sense of urgent demand. You know, he used different words for prayer. Prayer, supplication, of course, and the request, he said. And this word request, which shows that the urgent demand and the motivation that Paul gives us to go to God is that God cares for you. God cares for you. You go to God, it is God alone who can care for you. God is compassionate. And that's what Jesus Christ preached. Luke chapter 11:11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The strength, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, why will not he give you? You have to understand, it is God alone who cares for you, and make your requests made known to God. That's why Peter also says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But anxious about something today, this morning? The cure, the antidote for anxiety, a worry, is prayer. Take all your anxieties to God in prayer. Please note, he did not say do not work. He said do not worry. Work for your problems. Work out. But pray for God's intervenance in your life. Jesus gave multiple commands about this same topic in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour in your life? Matthew chapter 6 verse 27. But what should you do? You seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. You see? We should trust that God cares for us, and we should trust his wisdom and seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and he will take away the anxiety. Yeah. And he says, he uses three words for prayer, but he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We have to pray for everything, in everything. Whatever causing you anxiety, we have to take it to the Lord. And he used two words, prayer and supplication. And the prayer, this word gives a sense of the communication with God. All communication, that is just the, having an intimate relationship with the Lord. Conveying everything about your life, talking to God, everything, communication with the Lord. And the supplication is very specific plea, a petition about particular need. So there is an idea that Paul is giving. You have to be prayerful, which means that you have to walk in submission to God. When you're praying for everything, what are you doing? You're praying that you will submit to God in everything. You see? So pray for everything, which means pray that you will submit to God in everything. And this supplication means, as I said, a particular need. If something is troubling you, go with a petition. And as Thomas Watson says, prayer which lacks a good aim lacks good answer. You can't expect an answer if you don't have an aim for your prayer. And isn't it the same reason our prayer, we get bored of our prayers? We don't have an aim for our prayers. We should have a particular aim for our prayers. And when he said, in all things, in every situation, every circumstance. And we can see this in throughout the scriptures. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Yeah. We are still in the first point. Yeah. Rejoice in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Persevere in tribulation, but devoted to prayer, he said. But as I said, prayer becomes so tough, and we get bored of prayer because we don't have an aim in prayer, and mostly prayer becomes a kind of righteous act in our lives. But Paul here exhorts, saying it's about God who cares for you. When prayers become a righteous act, a sense of a righteous act for your Christian life, you will get burdened. You'll get bored of prayer. But when it becomes about a person, God himself, you will enjoy the prayer. Because you want to be intimate with this person. You want to walk in intimacy with this person, God himself. And then it becomes interesting. That's why when we start praying, whole world wages war against us. Mobile will ring, and your children will ask for something. Everybody wants you when you are kneeling down. But when you want intimacy with the Lord, when it is not just an option, when it becomes about a person and God, you will be able to say no for all these things and continue praying. But he asks us to pray for everything, always praying. And Charles Spurgeon helps us really. He says, how can we pray at all times? We have to work, right? And he gives an illustration. As a businessman, always greedy for money, even when you wake him up in the middle of the night, he will want money. If you ask him to open the shop in the middle of the night, he'll say, okay, 20% extra on the price, above the mid. So he's always greedy. In the same way, a Christian who is always leaning on to God, depending on God, is always praying person. So praying is just depending on God. So a heart that is always leaning on God is always praying heart. That should be our attitude. All these worries and anxieties I cannot overcome, so I have to lean on someone who is powerful. So this person is always leaning on to God, depending on God. That is what praying at all times means. And prayer, when it becomes about a person, it becomes joyful. And that's why he says, pray and give your supplications. But the attitude should be with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Attitude of thanksgiving. But before you get the answer, he is asking us to be thankful. You see? So he is saying that, hey, when you are asking, know that you will receive and be thankful. And that is the only way we can be thankful. And the other motivation you can think is that you received all the blessings from the Lord all throughout your life. Think of them. You received because of God's mercy and be thankful. So when you go to prayer, go with the heart of thankfulness. Go with the heart of thankfulness. And Paul is a really thankful person. You can see throughout the scriptures, Philippians 1:3, in the same as well, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, he says. Colossians, he says, we thank God. And Ephesians, he says, give thanks always. And Romans 1:8, first I thank my God. And multiple references are there. Like multiple references where Paul says, give thanks, many thanks, multiple thanks. But just I limited to this. And this is very important now, because this world has corrupted even Christian lives. This attitude of thanksgiving is not seen even in the church. This is a very good reminder from Paul for us. You know, the world has corrupted this idea. Movie dialogues. He says, I forgot the hero. He says, dosti me, no, sorry, no, thank you. And that happens even in the church. When I say, hey, thank you, brother. Hey, don't say thank you. We are friends, so what? Bible says us to be thankful. And children, we don't thank our parents enough. We don't thank our parents enough. We take it for granted. And today is the Mother's Day. Thank your mother for all that they have done for you. And you have to thank God for every blessing in your lives. This is one of the way to have Christ-like peace. To be thankful for what you have received. And Charles Spurgeon beautifully says, it's not how much you have, it's how you see what you have. You see? And ingratitude is a sin. Ingratitude is a sin. Romans 1:21, Paul divides people who are thankful and unthankful. In Romans 1:21, he says, for they already knew God, they did not honor him as God and give thanks to him. The unthankful persons are unbelievers. You have to cultivate this thankfulness attitude in our lives. It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy what we have. That's what matters. And if you are a Christian, you have Christ and you have everything. Every reason to be joyful. And that's why Luke chapter 10 verse 20, when apostles after doing all the miracles came to Jesus and said, hey Jesus, we did this and that. And Jesus says, simply says, do not rejoice in this that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names were written in heaven. You are saved. You are saved. You are going to be with me. Be happy. Why is chronic anxiety taking your lives? Your life is secure. Christ is under control. You are in Christ. How about you? Are you a thankful Christian or a complainer? And today is the day that you should spend time and think of it. If you want a Christ-like peace in your life, want to overcome worry, become a thankful Christian. And even when you go to prayer, thank the Lord for all the blessings that He has done. Thank the Lord that even whatever He gives answer for your prayer, it is good. Know that He is good, and whatever the answer might be, it is good. So be thankful for the prayer that your petition that you are going to submit also. And go home today. Count all your blessings. If you are struggling to be thankful, go home, sit, write all the blessings that you have received. You will sing out of joy. You want to be a peaceful person? You want to have a peaceful life in Christ? Be gentle and be prayerful. Pray for everything. Pray with thanksgiving. And the result, that's the two principles we have, the peaceful life. And the result is verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You will be blessed with the peace of God. As I earlier mentioned, this is not peace with God, peace from God. It is peace of God. It's a possession of God, who is free from all anxiety. He is never subject to any anxiety, worry, problem. And you're going to have peace like Christ. You're going to have peace of God. You see the beauty? Who is always joyful, who is always happy, always satisfied. You're going to have the same peace that God has. What a promise that we are going to, whether we are seeing here. What a great promise that we will have the peace of God. And this idea of the peace means, in the Hebrew word shalom, the idea of completeness, the sufficiency of every blessing. "It is my peace I leave with you," Jesus said. And today I just want to say, if you are here and if you are not in Christ, this sermon is not for you. You can't have peace unless you make peace with this King of Peace. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace only for those who are in Christ Jesus. This peace that we are talking, according to verse 7, he says, "This will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You are in Christ Jesus, you will have peace of God. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you can't have the peace. You first have to make peace with the King of Peace. And then you will have the peace of God. Repent for your sins. Confess Christ as Lord of your lives. When King of Peace becomes King of your heart, there is peace in your heart. When He reigns with peace in your hearts. And this peace, you see the beauty he explains. How does it look like? It suppresses all understanding, all the human forethought, the intelligence, all the schemes that you're trying to prepare to overcome this worry. They're not good enough. This peace of God will suppress all this, better than all this. Every thought, every cleverness, everything will be suppressed. It's beautiful than all understanding. And today you have to trust in that. Trust that God alone can give you the peace of God, not your wisdom. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 28:26. "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." If you are trying to solve your problems with your own minds, your cleverness, you think if you can overcome, then you are being fooled. trust in the Lord, His peace will suppress all, and it's better than all your understanding. And the second way, He says, it's going to protect you from all anxiety. It says, He will guard your hearts and your minds. Hearts and your minds. Heart is a center of emotions, feelings. The peace of God will control all your emotions. You are struggling with anger, you are struggling with bitterness, whatever it might be. The peace of God is going to suppress and protect you, guard you, and you. So this Philippians, you know, this they understand. It's a Roman province. They are protected. The whole city is protected by the Roman guards. So Paul gives this picture, like how the Roman guards are protecting the city. God's peace will protect your hearts and minds. A mind is thought area of where you think and purposes of all thoughts. So the heart points to emotions and feelings. Combined, this expression talks about the inner man. So your inner man will have the peace of God, and the peace of God will protect you. God. First Peter 2:25. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd who is the guardian of your souls. When Christ becomes your shepherd of your soul, He will guard your hearts. And that's why Psalmist in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a peace He is in. He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's the peace that we want, and that's only found in Christ Jesus. As to conclude, and this is a question for you today, are you a worrier or are you a warrior? Warrior in prayer. You want to overcome worries, be a warrior in prayer, and the peace of God, which suppresses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And I remember reading about wild animals. When they don't find any hunt, they pray for food. They go back to the previous hunt, and they will try to lick the blood that is on the stones and try to satisfy their hunger with that. And as they go lick the dry blood on the stones, they get the taste of blood, and then temporarily they get satisfaction. So they lick the stones, and sometimes the stones are pointing and sharp, so they cut the tongues of the wild animals, and then they die out of bleeding. So if you are trying to overcome your anxiety and worry like these wild animals, licking your own, licking the blood, and which means, like, if you are trying to find peace for all your worries with the worldly wisdom of drugs or alcohol or any other means, it will only give you temporary solution. But it will kill you eventually. You have to approach this King of Peace if you want to have peace. And Christ-like peace overcomes the worry. That's why Psalmist says in Psalm 53:6, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Trust in the Lord. Pray. He cares for you. Go to Him. He will give His peace. His peace. We'll close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your love. You care for us. You are the one who sent your Son, looking at our needs. You gave your only begotten Son, so that we may have eternal life. You care for us, Lord. And I pray that you will help us remember this truth, that you care for us. And I pray that we will continually come to you in prayer for all our needs. I pray that we will take commitment today to be gentle and to be prayerful, to have your peace in our lives. I submit Cornerstone and myself into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name we pray.